It's the first weekend in June, and the countryside is awash in floaty white veils, ruffled shirts, and little girls in pink taffeta dresses tossing rose petals. June is the month to get married. Flowers are in bloom, the sun is shining.
But in Rome, if you want to get married, you must wait until the Vestal Virgins have finished their spring cleaning.
That's Elaine Fantham, Weekend Edition's Classics commentator. She's in the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Hello again, Elaine.
Hi, Linda.
So what did the Temple of Vesta have to do with weddings?
Well, Vesta was the goddess of the hearth, of family life, and of reproductivity. And the temple which the Vestal Virgins attended symbolized the public continuity of the state.
Now, what was a wedding like in ancient Rome?
Well, it wasn't a religious occasion like ours. The bride was dolled up in a brilliant flaming yellow robe and a veil, which was actually called the flammea, like a flame, and she had an extraordinary hairdo. In fact, as far as I can see, the only function of the matron of honour, the pronuba, was to do the bride's hair. You divided her head of hair into six units and braided them, but you divided them with the point of a spear.
This would argue for really having your best friend as your maid of honor.
Oh, you'd need to be sure, all right. Then you have to, of course, get the bride to the groom. Now, he's not waiting there at the front of the aisle in the church or the temple. He's at home waiting in the bridal chamber. And the bride is escorted to the house where he lifts her over the threshold. And then they proceed to the bridal chamber and we draw a veil.
I see. And that's all there was to it.
Seemingly.
Could you actually meet a good-looking centurion at a singles bar in Mary in the good old days?
Oh, dear. No, you had to protect your daughter, like anything, in case she lost her virginity before you could marry her off to the right kind of young man. And to make sure that the right kind of young woman remained appropriate for the right kind of young man, she didn't get to meet anyone until pretty much the day of betrothal. Now, betrothal's the important part of this, really. In Roman marriages, in the privileged classes, the classes with money, it was a father's initiative. You thought about your business associates, your fellow lawyers, and which of them had a son or daughter, the right age for your son or daughter. The fathers got together, decided this would be a good alliance between them, for political power, for instance, or a financial alliance. And this was actually, I think, a more important occasion for the families
than the actual wedding.
Marriage. Yes, yes, sadly. And the betrothal came when the young man was primed to go to the prospective bride's father and say, "Will you give me your daughter as lawful wife for the begetting of citizen children?" And the father would say, "Yes, I will give her to you with a dowry of so many 100,000 sesterces."
What would all those sesterces buy you? I mean, what would that mean?
An estate, a small estate, or a townhouse.
And this bride who entered into an arranged marriage with someone she'd barely met, what was her life going to be like?
My own feeling is that it could be quite grim, because if her father wanted her to marry someone who was financially or politically important, this person could be unattractive or badly behaved. There would be an age difference anyway, but probably that would not be particularly disturbing. I used to think when I was a kid that I would like to marry a man 10 years older, and this is what the Roman girls usually did. They married somewhere between 15 and 20, a man towards 30. And you'd meet them perhaps at the betrothal or just before. You did have the right of refusal, but I think your family could make it pretty difficult for you if you kept on refusing prospective spouses of either sex.
What about divorce? If this turned out badly, could you get a divorce?
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, divorces happened very easily. Most of the ones we hear about were initiated by the men, but we do know that wives also could initiate a divorce. Now, if the husband divorced the wife, he had to return that dowry. And, of course, if he had actually spent it or got it financially tied up or he was in debt, this was a powerful deterrent to asking for a divorce.
Elaine, good to speak with you again.
My pleasure, Linda.
Elaine Vantham is Professor Emerita of Classics at Princeton University and Weekend Edition's Classics commentator. She spoke to us from the CBC in Toronto.